The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now it's time for our Friday Forum, and we're joined this week by Eimear Higgins, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Midwest, Donnacha O'Leary, Sinn Féin TD for Cork South Central, the party's spokesperson on education, and Catherine Murphy, Social Democrat TD for Kildare, co-leader of that party. Good morning and welcome to you all. I might ask you, just apropos of Capel Street and all the rest of it, and an earlier report we had on cycling, do any of you cycle, Eimear?
I don't cycle too much. I've known to be on a bike, but I certainly wouldn't be a commuter. An awful lot of my constituents do, all right. So I suppose investment is really important when it comes to cycle lanes, but it's also important that we do it right, that we're not disadvantaging, as was a proposal in my own area in Lucan recently, that we're not disadvantaging people who need to use their cars to get to villages too.
Yeah. Donnacha, bike?
No, I'd be more of a danger to other people than to myself, even, I think, on a bike. I do try and get the bus and train regularly, but I am a big believer in ensuring that we have safe and segregated cycle routes.
Do you tend to drive to Dublin?
No, the train typically. Not every time, no, but typically the train, and the lads in Kent Station can testify to that.
All right, and Catherine?
I wish I could cycle, but no, I have a dodgy knee, and but that doesn't mean that I don't believe that there is a lot more that we can do in relation to sustainable modes of transport, including cycling, and we've got to make it work, and we've got to make it work for everyone, including for people who live in the city.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how many people in Leinster House, be they in the Doyle or Shannon, actually use a bike at all. I've seen pictures of Eamon Ryan loads of times on his bicycle, but very few others.
There would be a fistful of others now, definitely. I know that Kieran Cannon and Pat O'Tobin and several others now you'd see on their bikes as well. I'm sure there are others, but probably typically, I think, from the greater Dublin area, you know.
All right. Now, we want to talk about the fallout from the National Maternity Hospital vote, the motion proposed by Sinn Féin, supported by two members of the Green Party, who then lost the party whip. Donnacha, what did it achieve?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing to say is that it is a mandate now. It is a very clear statement from the Dáil. However, we ended up there, and whatever the position ostensibly of the government, the Dáil has now voted that the hospital should be on fully publicly owned land. And I think that that is where the Irish people are. And I think that that is where we should have been right from the start. 2 years ago, the Vincent's Hospital Group said that they would gift the land. That isn't what has happened. I think the Irish people want the hospital to be on fully public land. They want the confidence that that gives them, not only now, but into the future. And especially when we are investing what could be up to $2 billion in a flagship public hospital, then it should be.
It's jumped by a billion just in your conversation there, you know, 800,000 to 800 million to a billion, and you've jumped it to 2 billion.
No, apologies. Now, well, yeah, you know, in the area of a billion, it could well be. But look, I mean, whatever the cost, it's a significant amount of money we're going to have a flagship public hospital that needs to be on public land. There's no question.
I did press, and I'll ask the others about this, I did press your colleague David Cullinan about, you know, what the alternative proposal is. He kept on referring back to mistakes that might have been made in the past about when they could have done this, that and the other. But given where we are now, what is the alternative? Where is the public land upon which you would propose building the maternity hospital?
Well, we're not proposing a different site. And I suppose, look, I mean, the reality is that the government has made another mistake this week. And that is the case, as far as I'm concerned, in signing the agreement that has been made. Now, look, I would urge the government now, with the mandate that the Dáil has given them, to at last engage directly with the Vincent's Hospital Group, the Taoiseach, because the government has never had any communications with the Vincent's Hospital Group asking them to give the land, even though that was the commitment that was made 2 years ago. I see no reason that the government shouldn't attempt to do that now. They've tied their hands a bit here because they have signed that agreement this week. I don't think that they should have done that. There is a legally signed agreement now. I think that is enormously regrettable. But whatever can be done now at this late stage to try and change that should be done. And the government should pursue that avenue. They should engage directly with Vincent's and to try and obtain possession of that land in full.
Catherine, do you think the Taoiseach should go cap in the hand to the new outfit and say, please give us the land?
Yes, the St. Vincent Healthcare Group Chairman, James Menton, was in front of the Health Committee during the week and said that there was no, the last serious attempt to buy the land was 5 years ago. So, like, I think it's been well known that the optimum would have been that this was a public hospital built on public land. And, I, you know, there's no shovel in the ground yet, and there's no reason why the government can't redouble its efforts in relation, or even make an attempt, even at this late stage. Like, there may well be political fallout for this, Pat, but there's also public fallout in that, you know, there's, you know, opinion polls are showing that the vast majority of people want this public hospital built on public land. It's their money. Essentially, they should have the hospital that they're paying for. And in fact, you know, the Day report from a couple of years ago, you know, more or less said that if we're building public infrastructure, we should own it. You know, and I really don't understand why you would deviate from that.
Okay, but if the St. Vincent's Healthcare Group say we're not selling it, we don't want to because we have two other hospitals on the site, there's integration there, and really we should be the overall landlord of the whole thing, simply from the point of view of administration and practicality, and therefore we are not selling it. What do you do then?
Well, I mean, essentially, I wouldn't even suggest a compulsory order at this stage because I do understand that does take a long time. But the idea that it wasn't even it wasn't even properly pursued, Pat, is just completely unconscionable. And when you start looking at other things, and this is not over in terms of some of the issues, like the indemnity issue, like, for example, you know, the lease agreement appears to look like they will own the hospital as, you know, anything that's built on the land.
That's right, into the future.
Yeah, and there was a previous, you know, the private hospital was built on foot of the public hospital being mortgaged, which has been refinanced, or it's up for refinance at the moment. I mean, there are still very significant outstanding issues here, and there's, you know, the government could still make an attempt at this stage.
Okay. Well, let's go to Eimear Higgins then. Eimear, you did articulate very clearly your concerns in advance of the two-week moratorium during which people could examine the details and documents. So you changed your mind and decided that you had enough assurances, but you can hear from the other two members of our Friday forum that concerns still remain and the appetite would be public facility paid for by public money should be on public land.
And that's what we have. Like, the legal facts, Pat, are that we own the building and that we're going to be owning this site for 300 years. I mean, two opposition party spokespeople.
You're leasing the site, and according to the terms of the lease, any building on that site will be owned by the Vincent's Hospital Group, and any subsequent building built in the next 50, 60, 100 years will also be owned by them.
Pat, we've been in and out of this from the legal experts, and the legal experts and the legal position from the Minister of Cabinet, of the three legal teams who were working on the three parties involved in this, and of the government's Attorney General. Their legal position is that this is going to be clinically independently governed. We know there's a triple lock system here in terms of the St. Vincent's constitution, in terms of the HSE licence for them to carry out hospital duties. And thirdly, we have the directors legally obliged to comply with that constitution. And we even have the minister's golden share on it. I mean, they're the legal facts. We've had two opposition spokespeople
say own.
Pat, if I could just say we have two.
You don't own. Seriously, Eimear, when people say the government owns, I mean, if you said
we've been
it
given
is good
ownership.
As owns,
for 300 years.
Because you've got
years.
Access to it for 300 years under the conditions of the lease. That's not ownership. Just to be, you know, cavilling on the ninth
part of
the Law
Society says different. I mean, we've been given over ownership for 300 years. We've set out what we will do on that site for those 300 years. We've two opposition spokespeople on here, Pat, today, saying that this is the right location. They both appreciate that a CPO wouldn't work on the land, but they want us to own the land. I mean, there's no solution here other than negotiating a very good deal, which we have done, €10 per year for 300 years, for us to have full use of that land. I mean, I'm a woman in my mid-30s, Pat. I campaigned on repeal. I don't want the church near my reproductive rights. I want a state-of-the-art national maternity hospital that's going to be secular, that's going to be independent, and that is going to provide the best possible care for women and infants for up to 300 years.
Just because we're told that, just because we're told that we own it, doesn't mean we do. It's actually what's in the paperwork. It's in the, what would be signed that is relevant here. And it was interesting that Paul Reid was in at an Oireachtas committee during the week and said that the reason they put in the clinically appropriate term at the HSE look for that was that they didn't want it to be used as a spillover if there was overcrowding in the general hospital. Like, you know, There are huge issues here in relation, and there are even more issues coming up all of the time. This needs to be a national maternity hospital that's publicly owned and publicly controlled.
It will be a national maternity hospital for all of the people of Ireland. I mean, I trust that, and I trust the clinicians, the 52 medical experts from Hollow Street, the Master of Hollow Street, Dr. Rona Mahoney, Professor Mary Higgins, the hundreds of midwives and clinicians who have urged us to move ahead with this. I trust the clinicians on this clinical matter as well.
Trust, we're being told to trust the government. Essentially, I think when you're signing an agreement, you're actually signing the terms of the agreement. And when you read into those terms of the agreement, for example, it is very clear that it will be, the site is owned by St. Vincent's Hospital Group or the subsidiary, and that it would be possible for them and everything above it. That is not public ownership. And like, if you're going to be spending money, you surely should own what you're paying for.
We have primary care centres up and down the country where we're in long-term leases on them. Nobody is doubting that they're not public buildings. You know, like, honestly, I think this is a bit of a red herring. Like, this has to be about providing the best possible care for women and infants.
Donica,
that's what this is
cutting to the chase here. It's not idealistically perfect that this building will be built on land that is leased rather than owned by the public. But, you know, in all practical terms and for all practical purposes, everything that women want in terms of what can be carried out surgically and so on is guaranteed to be there. So although we don't own the land, we will own the facility in terms of its use and so on, and it'll work well for the people of Ireland. Is that not a fair outcome of all of this?
There's a couple of things I'd say to that. The first is, EMER instance, the many medical experts and particularly the staff of Maternity Hospital. Listen, it's very hard to blame them when you're looking at the situation that they're in Hollow Street. Of course, they are very keen and they urgently need a new building. So I don't have any issue with them pushing to try and get this resolved, however, as quickly as possible. But the other issue is in relation to this is it's not just about the here and now. It's going to be about the future and decisions that the hospital group may seek to make and what basis they may seem to make them, and how they use the leverage that they have over the government in the future. And that is the concern that exists. And I think it is a very legitimate concern, and it could have been avoided. And I go back to the point that 2 years ago, the position of the Vincent's Hospital Group was to gift it. And I have still never had a satisfactory answer as to why that did not happen, why they did not gift it, why they insisted on maintaining this leasehold arrangement and this extremely complex governance model. Unfortunately, the government have now signed the lease, and we are in a different situation than we were at the start of the week. And I hear what Emer's saying in relation to solutions and all the rest of it, and nobody wants to say, well, I wouldn't start from here. But at the end of the day, the government now have signed the lease, and they've tied the hands of future governments very significantly. But I would still appeal to the government to take every possible opportunity at this very late stage, at this 11th hour, to try and engage with the Vincent's Hospital Group.
I want to go back to Emer. You know, it looks like they're not for turning on this, but we're still awaiting the whole business case for this. We're told we'll have that in July. Seems very odd to lock yourself into a legal deal that commits you only to a tenner a year, which is fine. But if you don't build something, maybe it'll jump to a million. So if there's a business case that says this looks a bit dodgy, what then?
There's very clear business case for us developing a national maternity hospital. I think everybody appreciates and does understand that, and no more so than the people who are working in our current maternity hospital, and then the people who are using the services of the current maternity hospital. This has been going on, Pat. You know, we've planning permission for a number of years for this at this site, and first engaged in discussions and business cases around this a number of years ago. So of course it's an evolving situation. Of course, there's new documentation and new plans and new proposals because things change, and we'll all get that business case when it's published in a couple of weeks' time.
This has been going on for many years, but in fact, Emer's party has been in government for all of those years. And if we're talking about delays, it really, that's where you need to look.
And I want to move on. My party is proud to be championing women's healthcare in this era.
Well, I mean, we won't go to the Children's Hospital to look at mistakes that were made, but, you know, you should go into all of these things with your eyes wide open one way or the other. I want to move on to Northern Ireland. And, Donnacha, first of all, you know, you'd expected perhaps to have a First Minister in place in Stormont. That hasn't happened. The United Kingdom government is kind of messing around with the protocol. You know, what do you see at the heart of this? Is the DUP pulling Boris's strings, or is Boris still bluffing?
Boris is certainly giving a lot of cover to the DUP and for what is a fairly undemocratic position, to be honest, of refusing. Look, I mean, the people spoke, they elected an assembly, and they certainly expected that to deliver an executive. And at the very least, they should have allowed the assembly to convene and to debate. I think it's appalling altogether that, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but they use the political weapons that they have, the hand of cards were dealt by the electorate. Yeah, yeah. They've used it to this
but
effect.
I tell you one of the reasons that they did that, because they knew that a functioning assembly would demonstrate that there's a majority in favour of the protocol. Now, not against trying to make it work better, but in favour of the protocol. An overwhelming majority in favour of the protocol. Indeed, the protocol is imperfect, but is delivering significant trade benefits to the north. And, you know, I would say there's a lot of business people from a unionist background that are looking at this aghast themselves. Now, is there scope to improve this? There is. Is there a will from the European Union to improve this? There is. They believe that checks can be reduced by about 80%. But, like, we don't have a British government that's engaging in any real terms at the minute. And unfortunately, a combination of things, a little bit of giving cover to the DUP, providing a distraction for Boris Johnson amidst his various controversies, and playing to a domestic media audience that likes to see Britain and the EU fighting. They're not seriously negotiating. If they were, we could actually get this fixed. We could move on from the protocol, and perhaps the British government could talk to the DUP and say, listen, come on, let's move on with democracy.
We'll see whether or not Liz Truss actually publishes the terms of a bill that ultimately might be passed. Your take on this, Catherine?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the like of Boris Johnson can't be treated as a trusted actor here. And if they move on to the point where they actually produce the legislation, I think it moves it to a much more serious position. And I mean, obviously, the European Union have said that they would react aggressively to that. Possibly not that particular term, but.
They said they'd use all the tools
at their
disposal.
There may well be other things at play here, and that Boris Johnson is trying to leverage something more in relation to a trade deal with the European Union, and Northern Ireland is being used as a pawn. But it is appalling from the point of view of being undemocratic. And, you know, really, I would feel really sorry for the people in Northern Ireland who went out and voted and expected that, and had every right to expect that that the Stormont would be sitting now.
Yeah. And finally, to you, Emer.
Yeah, well, I suppose, I mean, it's important to remember that it was Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and Boris Johnson who one-on-one negotiated the pathway to the protocol. The UK agreed it, and this is the third time it's threatening it. I mean, we saw them threaten Article 16 to invoke it before. They didn't follow through. We saw them talking about bringing in a new international agreement, which, as we all know, broke international law. They didn't follow through. And now they're acting unilaterally with this third threat. But it's interesting to see they've actually already softened their their stance a little bit in the last few days. At the start of the week, they were saying they didn't need to engage with the EU at all. Whereas now they're saying that they are willing to engage with the EU. So let's see if that happens. I know Minister Coveney is meeting Liz Truss around about now, probably. And the Taoiseach is up in Northern Ireland today to meet the leaders of all of the main parties there. And we had quite an interesting intervention overnight from Nancy Pelosi in terms of the United States. And I think that's important too. It's important for Boris Johnson to understand that it's the EU supported by the US on this one. And I mean, we're two very big, significant trading blocks he has.
I wonder, will Simon Coveney bring up her remarks about the only people affected by Brexit be a few Irish farmers with turnips in their tractors? Anyway, we have to leave it there. Eimear Higgins, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Midwest, Donal O'Leary, Sinn Féin TD for Cork South Central, the party spokesperson on education, and Catherine Murphy, Social Democrat TD for Kildare, co-leader of that party. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.